الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue our readings and the treatise by the great Imam Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى, which is entitled كشف الشبهات, revealing the doubts. We have read a number of benefits that the author he has mentioned رحمه الله تعالى. And from that is what he mentioned about the fact that a person of Tawheed, if he has knowledge, then he will be able to defend himself. And that knowledge will be like a weapon for him, and likewise be a means of fortification. And he will be able to defend himself on the straight path. Because on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are enemies, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has not sent a prophet or messenger throughout history except that He has sent along with Him enemies. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِّ. And Allah, He mentions, and indeed we have made for every prophet an enemy from the devils of mankind and of the jinn. And the means to defend oneself upon that path is to have knowledge. The means to defend oneself upon that path is to have knowledge. So the knowledge will be a means of fortification and a means of defense, and likewise a means to fight back and to clarify that falsehood, to clarify that falsehood. But as for the person of truth, the person of Tawheed, if he does not have knowledge, then it's feared for him that he may be overcome, and that he may be misled or misused, and that he may misunderstand, and that those enemies may take advantage of him, and he may go astray. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the author, he's mentioning now some very beneficial knowledge and fundamentals that will be a means of fortification, that will be a means of protection. And he mentioned this affair in two aspects. One aspect is in general, and the other aspect is in detail. And if it means to have knowledge that a person will be able to protect himself with by way of, and that is to fortify and to take on the protection of knowledge. And then likewise after that to increase and take on a greater amount of knowledge, which will be light and likewise a weapon for him to fight back. So the general refutation that we had discussed in the previous class, this is a means of التحسن به المسلم, that he will be able to fortify himself and he will be able to take on the amount of knowledge that بإذن الله تعالى he will be able to defend himself from every doubt in a general manner. But before this particular methodology will be beneficial for a person, he will be able to use it in defense of every doubt and misconception, he must first have strong fundamental knowledge of the truth. He must first have strong fundamental knowledge of the truth. And the means that the author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, of how to refute the falsehood, particularly here with regards to the doubts and misconceptions in Tawheed al-Ibadah, and the fact that the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla is to be worshipped alone with no partners, and that all actions of worship must be directed and devoted entirely to Allah alone from every aspect and every manner. There are individuals who have doubts and misconceptions with regards to this. At the head of them, the extreme Sufiyyah and the Rafidah, and the likes, like them calling on the graves, and calling on the saints, and calling on the awliya, calling on the wali, calling on sahib al-sir, calling on a shaykh, and the names that they call them, and the names that they give them. In reality, we have seen with the light of knowledge that these names that the people who ascribe to Islam in the time of the author, and likewise continuing until the time of today, they call these things that they devote themselves to and worship, Shaykh or Wali or Sahib al-Sir. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they call them Ilah. They call them Ilah. They call them the God and their object of worship that they would seek nearness to besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the means in general to defend oneself from this is to have knowledge and clarity of that right, the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. But this is the general refutation. This refutation that we studied in the previous class is a refutation for every falsehood. For every falsehood that is contrary, and for every falsehood and every deviated misunderstanding And this requires first to have certainty and clarity with regards to the fundamental proofs of that particular issue. If a person, he became solid and grounded in the creed in general, and he knows the creed of Tawheed, he knows the truth, and he has seen that clearly, this refutation will defend him bi'idhnillahi ta'ala against any doubt or misconception. If he comes firmly grounded in the methodology of Ahl Sunnah and dealing with the Hukam, dealing with the Muslim rulers, and he has seen the evidences clearly, and he knows that that is the truth revealed from Allah to His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, with this particular refutation, he'll be able to defend himself from every doubt. If he has learned and seen the great right of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, and he has seen the proper creed of Ahl Sunnah with regards to them, and the methodology in dealing with the companions and honoring them and respecting them and holding them in great and high regards and the likes like that, and refraining from saying anything ill about them, and seeing the virtue of the Sahaba and their rank radiyallahu anhum in the Quran and the Sunnah, and learn that truth with its proof and evidence, then he will be able to defend himself from every doubt and every misconception in this manner here that the author he is mentioning. So this is a general refutation as the author he has mentioned, but he's mentioning specifically here the issue of the topic, and that is the doubts related to Tawheed al-Ibadah, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah. But in reality, this is an inclusive refutation. But first, it requires for a person to understand the fundamental principles of the truth in every aspect, and every aspect that he is traversing upon. So in the aspect of Ibadah, he must learn the fundamental truths. In this manner, he'll be able to repel these doubts and misconceptions with regards to the belief in the angels, or with regards to the belief in the prophets and messengers, with regards to the belief in the Sahaba, with regards to the methodology with the rulers, with regards to innovations, with regards to any aspect of the religion. Any fundamental principle in the deen that has been established and clarified in the Book of Allah and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, emphasized in the methodology of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, the one who learns that truth with its proof, the one who learns that haqq with its evidence, then after that he will be able to repel every doubt and misconception in this manner. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. He will be able to repel every doubt and misconception in this manner. And what the author he had mentioned was the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told her, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَبَهَ مِنْهُ, يعني in the Quran, فَأُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ سَمَّ اللَّهِ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. The narration is in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Aisha radiallahu anha that if you see those who follow the unclear verses, if you see those who follow the unclear verses, then these are the ones whom Allah has named and mentioned in His book. So therefore beware of them. إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ فَأُولَئِكَ سَمَّ اللَّهُ. If you see those people, those individuals who are following verses that are unclear from the Quran, then these are the ones that Allah has mentioned. And these are the ones that Allah has named them by name and blamed them and clarified their way. فَحْذَرُوهُمْ. So therefore, beware of them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recited the verse of Allah azza wa jal, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ. It is He, Allah, who has revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the book, and from it there are clear and precise verses, and they are the fundamental foundations of the book, and there are other verses that are unclear. وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٍ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ. And then he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as for those who have deviation in their heart, and as for those who have deviation and misguidance in their heart, then they follow that which is unclear from the book, seeking to cause trial and fitna, and seeking to misinterpret and to mis-explain, or seeking to misinterpret these verses and explain them according to their whims and their desires. وَلَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. And no one knows its true understanding and outcome except for Allah, the true the true reality of these verses except for Allah. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And as for those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, then they say, we believe in it. We believe in it, all of it is from our Lord. We believe in it, and in the book, all of it is from our Lord. That which is clear, the muhkam, and likewise that which is not clear, the mutashabih, the mutashabih. So now we have this issue here to clarify what is intended by al-ayat al-muhkamat and al-ayat al-mutashabihat. Because this issue of al-ihkam, wat-tashabuh in the Quran, it has a general understanding and a specific understanding. And what is intended in these verses here is the specific understanding. So in general, the whole Quran is muhkam and the whole Quran is mutashabih. And if there's a general understanding about ihkam, Allah, He mentioned in His book, Alif Lam Ra, Kitabun Uhkimat Ayatuhu, Thumma Fussilat Min Ladun Hakimin Khabir. That this is a book that its ayat, its verses have been perfected with precision, and then explained in detailed clarity from the one who was all wise and all aware. So the whole Quran is muhkam. The whole Quran is muhkam from the aspect that it is all the most beautiful and eloquent and precise in every letter, and every word, and in every context. It's precise and perfect. The whole Quran, from every aspect, from the beginning of to the end, is the most beautiful and the most eloquent and the most precise and the most direct and the most powerful and profound and beneficial. Powerful and profound and beneficial. Every single verse is mastered and perfected. Every single verse is mastered and perfected. It's the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, as well, in the general aspect, the whole Quran is mutashabih. Mutashabih. Allahu nazzala ahsan al-hadith kitaban mutashabihan. Mathaniya taqasi'iru minhu juludu alladhina yakshawna rabbahum. Thumma tarinu juluduhum wa qulubuhum ila dhikrillah. So Allah, He mentioned likewise about this book that He has revealed subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is mutashabih. That is mutashabih, mathani. That it is mutashabih, meaning that one part resembles the other in beauty and perfection. That the Quran, all of it resembles. One verse in one surah resembles another verse in another surah in its mastery, in its beauty, in its eloquence, in its perfection. And likewise, there are verses that are very close in their context and meaning, but slightly different. But all of them are the most beautiful and the most eloquent. And the Quran resembles itself in this manner. Resembles itself in this manner, and how it is all mastered, and it is all precise, and it is all eloquent, and it is all the most beautiful speech, the speech of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the general aspect. This is the general aspect. But as for the specific understanding of al-ihkam, wat-tashabuh, then this is what is being referred to here. There are verses that are considered muhkamat, meaning that they are very clear and they carry one meaning. Meaning that they're very clear, and the verse, it carries one meaning. It carries one meaning, and it's direct, and the meaning is clear. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةِ. Say, O Muhammad, that Allah, He is one. So there is understood, Allah, He is one. He's not two or three or four or five. He's only one. Allah Azza wa Jal, the Creator, He's one. إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ. Indeed, your Lord is Allah. So there's no other Lord. It's very clear. Your Lord, who's your Lord? Your Lord is Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions that the meat of the dead animals is haram. That's very clear. That's very clear. Halallahu al-bay'a wa harrama al-riba. Allah has made buying and selling halal, and He has made interest and usury haram. These verses are very clear. These verses are very clear. To buy and sell, this is halal and permissible. But to take interest is haram. This is not allowed. These verses are clear. These verses are clear, they have one meaning, and it's direct to the point. As for other verses in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, some of them, they carry more than one meaning. Some of them, they carry more than one meaning. They could be understood in more than one aspect. Some verses could be understood in more than one aspect. These verses here are considered mutashabihat, the verses that carry more than one aspect. So whenever we translate these words, maybe we might lose the proper understanding. So we would sometimes translate the muhkamat to be the clear verses, and then the mutashabihat to be the unclear verses. But that's not really proper. The verses are actually clear. But what we mean when we say the unclear verses, meaning that these verses, they carry more than one meaning. So it could possibly mean this meaning, or it could possibly mean that meaning, or even sometimes another meaning. But the manner to identify what meaning is intended is by referring these verses that are mutashabihat, that carry more than one meaning, back to the ayat that are muhkamat. Because the verses that are mutashabihat, that carry more than one meaning, from the meanings that they carry is the same meaning as the ayat that are muhkamat. It has that meaning is understood, and likewise it has other meanings that could be understood as well. So how do we know which one is intended? By referring back to the one that is muhkamat, the understanding of that verse that carries more than one understanding, that's in accordance with the other verses that are clear, that's the meaning that is intended. That's the meaning that is intended. And as for the other meanings, they're not intended. They're not intended. So this is the issue here. So Allah, He mentioned this in His book. هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. It is He, meaning Allah, who has revealed the book to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from that book, there are verses that are mastered and perfect. They're mastered, and there are these verses that are clear. And the fact that they carry one meaning, ayat muhkamat, there are verses that are clear. And the fact that they carry only one meaning, and they can only be understood in one light. Hunna ummul kitab. These are the fundamental foundations of the book. What is the fundamental foundation? Yani linguistically. The asl, what is that? Yani hunna ummul kitab, yani humma aslul kitab. That's the meaning. Asl, these are the foundation of the book. What is the foundation of something?
Base.
The base, but that's something. Where does it come from? From the base. The scholars in usul al-fiqh, yani they say the asl lughatan ma yubna alayhi ghayruhu. Something that a foundation is something that something else is based upon. Something else is based upon. So you have a tree, for example. You have in the tree, you have leaves and you have branches, and you have fruits. But can they come without a trunk? Can there be leaves without a trunk on a tree? Or can there be fruits in a tree without a trunk? Rather, there has to be a trunk. The tree, the leaves and the branches and the fruits, they're based on the trunk. The trunk is the asl. The trunk is the foundation, the trunk of the tree. The trunk of the tree. So from the trunk branches out the rest of that of the tree. So the tree goes, all of those branches and leaves and fruits go back to the trunk, which is the foundation. Likewise the house, likewise the building, likewise the masjid has a foundation. Everything in this building is built on the foundation. Everything is built on the foundation. Without the foundation, the walls will not stand, the pillars will not stand. Rather, the foundation is first. So the first thing you do is lay down the foundation of something, and then everything after that goes back to that foundation, is based upon that foundation. This is what a principle is. This is what a principle is. So these clear verses, they are that principle. You understand, these clear verses, they are the foundation of the book. Hunna ummul kitab. Hunna ummul kitab. So that means all of the other verses, they go back to these verses. So this is why we say that if there are unclear verses in the book of Allah, meaning if there are verses that carry more than one meaning, the proper way to understand them and the correct intent is that they are in accordance with those clear verses and not contrary. And not contrary. Because in the book of Allah, there is no contradiction. If the Quran had been from other than Allah, then you will find much contradiction in it. This is why Allah, He mentioned about those people who turn away from the foundation and they follow the mutashabiha ibtiqa al fitna wa ibtiqa al ta'wili, because they're seeking a fitna and a trial. They're seeking to mislead the people, to confuse them, and to misinterpret the verses. Because the only way to truly interpret the verses is to bring them back and understand them according to the fundamentals and the foundations that are clear. That are clear. This is how we know what Allah intended from this verse. This is how we know what Allah intended from this verse. This is likewise how to understand as well even the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, there are a hadith, there are narrations on topics in the religion that are very clear. And then there are some narrations that could be understood in more than one light. Those narrations are treated in the same manner. Any of those topics and those issues, we'll gather the Quran and the Sunnah in every aspect that we're discussing in the religion, and then compare all of these texts together to understand the truth. And we'll find there that there are fundamental evidences in the book and the Sunnah that all indicate one meaning. And then maybe there are likewise some other evidences about the same topic that could be understood in another light. It could be understood in accordance with those clear verses and texts, and it could be understood in another light. So those who seek to interpret that in another light, contrary to those clear verses, these are the ones that Allah, He mentioned in His book. These are the ones that Allah, He mentioned in His book. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْ. And as for those who have zayg in their hearts, zayg is deviation. وَلِيَذُ بِلَا إِنْحِرَافِ. Inhiraf, misguidance, dalala. When those who have zayg, they have deviation. They have an inclination to falsehood. They have an inclination and a desire to turn to falsehood and misguidance. They have this in their heart. What do? They follow the verses that carry more than one meaning. And they interpretate them contrary to those clear verses. So this is a very beneficial hadith. A very great narration and likewise very, very beneficial understanding here. From this manner, a person now, not only he is able to defend himself from the doubts, but even he will be able to recognize the people. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if you see those people who try to interpret the unclear verses, any of the verses that carry more than one meaning, and they're delving into these issues, and they're not returning those back to the clear verses, they're basing their dispute or their debate, or they're basing their talk and their position all on these verses that carry more than one meaning without referring them back to the clear verses, making the interpretation contrary to those unclear verses, making it seem like there is contradiction in the Quran, making it seem like the one verse is saying one thing and another is saying another. This is ibtigha al-fitna. This is a great fitna that they're seeking to cause in the hearts of the believers, to mislead them and to confuse them and to cause them to have doubts. So this is the way of the people of falsehood. If we see somebody doing that, then he is a person of falsehood. That person has deviation in his heart. So the issue of the heart is something that's from the unseen. But there are signs. There are signs of what someone has in their heart. From that is what he says on his tongue. Because the heart is like a dish and a vessel, and the tongue is like the ladles and spoons. It dishes that out. And likewise, a person's actions. There are attributes that a person will be described with that displays his heart. That displays his heart. What is in his heart by his statements and by his deeds and by his manner and his conduct. So, in general, the affair of the heart is from the unseen and the inside, and the realities of a person is entrusted to Allah Azza wa Jal. But if a person he displays outwardly the signs of the people of falsehood, the signs of the people of deviation, then now what should we do? فَحْذَرُوهُمْ فَحْذَرُوهُمْ. You be cautious from them. You take protection from them. You beware from them. You be aware of them. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said. So these are the ones that Allah mentions. Those people who go to those verses that carry more than one meaning, and they seek to delve into these affairs without returning them back to the fundamental principles that are clear, then these are the ones that Allah mentioned in His book. Meaning these are the ones that Allah has mentioned that they have deviation in their heart. They have deviation in their heart, and they're seeking to cause trials and fitna for the believers and misunderstandings and confusion and doubts. So therefore, watch out. This is a great principle. And these people here, عَلَذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ كَثِيرٌ فِي يُوتُوبِ كَثِيرٌ جِدًا فِي يُوتُوبِ. These people, there are a lot of them on YouTube. There are some of them, they have a shemagh on. Some of them, they have a beard. Some of them, they have a thobe on or the bisht on. Some of them, they don't have those affairs. Some of them have the shaved face. Some of them have a suit and tie on. They have different images. Any, some of them have ball caps on. They're all different categories of people, but all of them, they share in the same thing, that they're following the unclear verses, and they're seeking to interpret the unclear verses and introduce falsehood and misguidance in this manner without referring back to the clear verses. So the person who has learned those clear verses and he knows the fundamental principles of the deen, and he has the foundations of that, even if he's not able to identify directly the detailed aspect of that falsehood, he will be able to defend himself. He will say, "Whoa, this person here is opposing the principle. He's opposing the haq clearly. He's interpreting this issue here, this hadith here, this verse here, contrary to all these other verses here that are clear. So now he'll be able to identify that falsehood. Maybe he's not able himself to go and refute him and shut him down. He's not able himself to go to him and silence him. But he's able to protect himself. And he's able to identify the falsehood of that, and that that person is a person of deviation, and that he should not be relied upon or trusted or listened to. And then now he's safe. Now he's safe from the shubha. Now he's safe from the shubha. As for the one who does not have the strong foundation in those truths, he does not know the detailed truth of that issue, then he will be affected by that. Because he's going to come with the verses of Allah. And he's going to come with also what we call the gift of gab. And he's going to be eloquent. He's going to be able, many times the people of falsehood, like the author he mentioned, they have knowledge. They have knowledge. They have principles. They have a swift tongue. They have the ability to confuse the people in their speech. And they have eloquence sometimes. And the likes like this, and the one who does not have knowledge is feared for him, that he may be affected by that. But that he may be affected by that, even if he's a person of the truth, even if he's somebody who loves Allah and he loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he loves Tawheed, he loves the Sunnah, he loves As-Salafiyyah in his heart, he loves that. But because of a deficiency in his knowledge or weakness in his understanding of those principles, he can be affected by the Khawarij, he can be affected by the Sufiyyah, he can be affected by the Rafidah, he can be affected by Ikhwan Muslimun, he can be affected by Jama'at al-Tabligh, he can be affected by all of these different deviant sects and groups, all of these different deviant Sururiyah, he can be affected by all of these different sects and groups, because he's not firmly grounded in the truth. Firmly grounded in the truth. So the greater than that is what we move on to, inshallah, in the next class, whenever the author, he starts to mention the detailed refutation. The detailed refutation. So that requires having knowledge of the truth in detail and knowledge of falsehood in detail. But not everyone is able to reach this level. So the author, he is giving us that which we need from the knowledge that would be a means to defend ourselves and protect ourselves at least. So the first level is this issue here, that a person, he will learn the truth clearly. From that truth, he will be able to identify falsehood. Because Allah, he says, فَمَاذَا بَعْدِ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. What is after the truth except for misguidance? Meaning, after the truth is established, there's nothing except for misguidance. Meaning, anything that opposes the clear truth is nothing but misguidance. So the one who learns the truth clearly, now he's able to identify anything that opposes that is falsehood. Anything that opposes that is falsehood. Maybe he's not able to clarify the details of that falsehood, but he knows that it's falsehood because it's contrary to the truth. For example, the one who learns that dua is ibadah, and that dua is the right of Allah, that Allah, he has mentioned that the dua must be for Allah alone. He's seen proofs in the Quran, proofs in the Sunnah, time after time, that dua, supplication, invocation, calling on someone, this is for Allah alone. This is ibadah and the right of Allah alone. And then somebody comes along and says that you can call on the grave. If you call on that grave over there, it will answer you. It will answer. We tried it. They'll say that. Jarrabna. They say the likes of it. We tried it. Or if you go to this particular tree and you rub on this particular tree and the likes like this. They have trees. You don't know this. They have trees. What do you have? The billah. And they go to the tree. The woman who cannot have a baby. The Muslimah. The Muslim woman who cannot have a baby in some lands, they'll go to the tree. They say that if you go to this tree and you do this action, then that you have a baby. You have a baby. And they'll seek blessing from the tree and the likes like this, hoping to have a baby because of the blessing of the tree. This is all falsehood. Or going to the grave. They mention the likes of these affairs and they say, oh, we tried it. You don't remember so-and-so, the wife of so-and-so, she was barren for so many, she went to the grave and she slaughtered this and she gave this charity and she became pregnant immediately. She became pregnant after two, three weeks, like this. You'll never amaze, a righteous baby. Like that, and they decorate it. They even make a false hadith. They say, didn't you hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا عَيَاتْكُمْ الْأُمُورِ فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِأَصْحَابِ الْقُبُورِ. They say this is a hadith. إِذَا أَعْيَتْكُمُ الْأُمُورِ فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِأَصْحَابِ الْقُبُورِ. They say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if you ever find yourself in distress, if the affairs get hard for you, then you must go to the people in the grave. You must go to the people in the grave. And you go to the grave and call on them, they'll help you. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِأَصْحَابِ الْقُبُورِ. Then go to the graves, call on them. If things become dangerous and if you become difficult and hard for you, then go to the graves and you call on the graves. Somebody might say this is a hadith. Maybe you never heard the hadith. So maybe you never heard the hadith, but this hadith is completely, clearly contrary to everything that you have learned about Islam. That the du'a is for the sake of Allah. You can't call on a grave, you can't even call on a prophet or a messenger. This is all falsehood. This is all falsehood. So then you know that that's contrary to, even if you don't know how to refute that. Is it a hadith really? Is it authentic or is it fabricated? Is it a lie? I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know. I never heard the hadith before. For example, somebody didn't know. But he knows that that's contrary to all of the principles that he has learned. So now he knows it's falsehood. Even though he can't clarify the falsehood of that, he will know that it's falsehood. He'll know that it's falsehood. We understand? And it will not affect him. And then after that, yani, alhamdulillah, he's good. He doesn't have to worry about it. Whatever. I don't know what you're talking about, but that's falsehood. That's contrary to all the proofs that we learned. That's contrary to all the proofs that we have learned. وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِنْ يَدُعُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Yani, all of these verses about dua, the dua is the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla. الدُّعَاء وَالْعِبَادَةِ. The greatest sin, man yadu and tadu lillahi niddan wa huwa khalaqak. All these different verses and hadith about the fact that dua is for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this man, he tries to argue with you and then bring this evidence here that he has, so-called evidence, contrary to everything that you know. Some people, they might hear that and be shook. Oh, the Prophet said that. The Prophet said that. Oh, let's go to the grave. SubhanAllah. A'udhu billah, because he's so ignorant or he does not know. In any case, if something is ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has to be identified. What book is that in? That's why you find that the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge on the straight path, whenever they're teaching or they're clarifying the truth, if they mention a hadith, generally they're going to say it's in Bukhari, it's in Muslim, it's in Sunan Abi Dawud, it's been reported authentically. Like this, they're going to refer it back to its original source, at least in general, so that the people, if they're interested, they can go back to that book and find it themselves and verify. This is from the trust to mention those sources for the people to go back to. It's not any, so long as the person he mentioned the hadith authentically, inshallah, is good. But many times you will find the people of knowledge saying, it's narrated in Bukhari and Muslim, it's narrated in Sunan Abi Dawud, it's narrated by al-Hakim and the likes like this. This is in order for the people to identify this. But the people of falsehood, even if they do that, they'll lie. This hadith is 100% fabricated. إِذَا أَعْيَاتْكُمُ الْأُمُورُ فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِأَصْحَابِ الْقُبُورِ. Them, and this is all falsehood and a lie on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The point is, the one who doesn't know, this is how he will defend himself. Even if he doesn't know, he'll know that what is being mentioned here is contrary to all these principles that we have learned. So therefore, it's falsehood. It cannot be truth, because the Quran is the truth, and it will never contradict itself. Allah will never order us in the Quran to make the du'a for him alone, and then order us to make du'a for somebody else. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will never call us to worship Allah alone and then call us to worship somebody else. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will never order us to make all of the actions of worship purely for the sake of Allah alone and then tell us to direct some part of worship to all other than Allah. That will never happen. That will never happen. That's contradiction. So this is what we benefit from this. So we're able to identify those people. So to understand the shubha in general, the people of knowledge mentioned that arad al mujman, the general refutation, lahu arba'u muqaddimat wa natija. The general refutation here that we discussed in the previous class and that we reviewed this morning, this general refutation, it has four introductions, and four preceding steps, and then a result. It has four steps, any preceding, and it, that you proceed with, and then after that, there's the result. Then after that, there's the result. So the first step. Is that we have to realize this affair that's established in this verse and likewise in this hadith. That there are verses that are very clear. There are verses in the Book of Allah that are very clear and they only carry one meaning. And these evidences here, they're clear and they're sound and they're profound and they're strong and established and clear as daylight. They're strong like mountains, clear as daylight. Evidences that are clear as daylight on what is intended. On what is intended, and that these verses here, they're the fundamental principles, the foundation of the book, meaning that all of the other issues in the religion go back to these verses, and then what we say, the people of truth, that we follow these clear verses. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَ. Those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, they say, we believe in all of them. We believe in all of them. All of this from our Lord. So that which we follow and that which we hold fast to are those clear verses. Somebody brings that falsehood, we say, I'm following the clear verses. In the book of Allah, there are clear verses. In the book of Allah, there are verses that establish principles that are clear, that cannot be understood except in one understanding. They cannot be understood except in one light. These verses here, they're the fundamental foundations of the book. The whole religion returns back to them. This is what I follow and believe in. This is what I follow and believe in. For example, the fact that the ibadah, worship, is the right of Allah. And that supplication, dua, is ibadah. These are fundamental principles that are established clearly in the book and in the sunnah that no one can truly deny. These clear evidences, clear evidences. Likewise, we have seen as well the fact that the pagans and polytheists in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they believe in Allah. And they believe that Allah was the creator. And they believe that Allah was the sustainer and the provider. And also, we've seen as well the clear verses likewise, and also in the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that those pagans in the time of the Prophet, although they believed in Allah Azza wa Jal and loved Him, they took objects of worship besides Allah. And the reason why they did that was to seek nearness to Allah. Not believing in these objects and worship specifically or by themselves, but rather in order to draw them near to Allah. All of these are from the clearest of verses mentioned in the book of Allah. مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. We do not worship them except to draw us near to Allah. They mention these verses are very clear. So therefore, the reality of the shirk in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that they worshipped others along with Allah, believing that they'll draw them near to Allah. That they worshipped others along with Allah, believing that they'll draw them near to Allah. So all of this is something that is established. All of this is something that is established. So therefore, if somebody tries to misinterpret these affairs or try to mention something that's contrary to these affairs, then you just refer back to this. These are clear verses. This is what Allah He mentioned in His book. These are what Allah mentioned in His book. I'm not sure what you're talking about, but I know that this is what Allah He says in His book. And this is clear. And I follow the clear. I follow the clear verses, the sound understanding. As for what you're mentioning here, I'm not aware of that. This is clear verses. This is what I'm upon. And then likewise, on the second step as well, to realize that there are also verses that are mutashabihat. That there are verses that are mutashabihat. There are verses that carry more than one meaning. And also that there are people who seek to cause fitna and trials by going to those verses that have more than one meaning. And their methodology, clarifying the deviation in their heart, is that they will try to use these verses that carry more than one meaning to interpret them contrary to the clear verses. Contrary to the clear verses. So now they bring those doubts. Now they're bringing doubts to people about the fundamental principles of their religion, to make the interpretation of those verses contrary to those clear verses. So these are the ones that have deviation in their heart. And these are the ones that Allah, He mentioned in His book. And these are the ones that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us from by warning his family first and foremost. An indication that we must take care of our family likewise and warn them from falsehood. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said this narration to Aisha, and he has a warning for her, and likewise the rest of the believers, radiyallahu anha. So this here, in reality, is the way of falsehood. So I don't follow that way. This person now is following the way of the people of falsehood that Allah warned about in His book and mentioned they have deviation in their heart, contrary to the way of truth. So now you identify this. By knowing these two points here, you identify this person is from those who are described as having deviation in their heart. And then you also, in the third step, you must know and realize that the authentic evidence, they will never contradict themselves. The authentic evidences will never contradict themselves. So we have the clear verses that carry one meaning. This is following them as the way of the people of truth. And then we have other verses that carry more than one meaning. Following them and to interpret them contrary to the clear verses is the way of those who have deviation in their heart. And then on along with that, the clear evidences and the authentic text of the Quran and Sunnah. Excuse me. And along with that, the authentic text from the Quran and Sunnah, they will never contradict each other. They'll never contradict each other, because Allah, He says, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِي اخْتِلَافٍ كَثِيرًا. If it had been from other than Allah, meaning this revelation, then you would find much differing therein. So it's not possible that there will be a commandment for one thing and then a commandment for its opposite in this manner like this. This is something that will not occur. This is that Allah will not order to worship Him alone and then order to worship somebody else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will not order for the worship to be sincerely for Him alone, all aspects, especially dua, and then order to make dua to somebody else. This will not happen in the Book of Allah. There's no contradiction here. And the fourth affair is that laysa ba'da al-haqqi illa dhalal, and that there's nothing after the truth except for falsehood. There's nothing after the truth except for falsehood. Allah, He says, فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. And what is after the truth except for falsehood? So now we have, with these steps here, we have come to the conclusion that anybody who opposes these clear fundamental foundations, that these clear understandings that are mentioned in the verses that carry one meaning, then he's a person of deviation. He's a person of falsehood. He's on a path contrary to the path of the people of the truth. And the fact that he is following this way is a clarification of the misguidance in his heart, and likewise that he is in opposition to the truth, because the texts, they never contradict each other. So therefore, now we come to the conclusion that what this man is talking about is falsehood, and what I'm upon is the truth. What this man is, this is what the believer, he says to himself now, from this manner like this. Now he has fortified himself, he has kept his heart safe and clean and strong. The shubha does not enter, rather it's refuted immediately. This person, he is a person of falsehood. This person is from those who are described to have deviation in their heart. This person is misinterpreting the verses contrary to what is solid and clear. And that's falsehood, and I don't follow falsehood. Rather, I follow the truth, alhamdulillah. Rather, I follow the truth, alhamdulillah. And the truth is in those clear verses, and that which is in accordance to those clear verses. You understand that? And that which is in accordance to those clear verses. So this here is very beneficial. As I mentioned, this is specific here. The author is referring to the issue of ibadah. But likewise, if we see the clear verses and the clear hadith and fundamental principles with regards to the khawarij, and revolting against the ruler, and publicly criticizing the ruler, and speaking bad about the Muslim rulers, and rebelling against the Muslim rulers, text after text, and ayah after ayah, and hadith after hadith, that established this fundamental principle that you do not defame or criticize the rulers publicly. And likewise, not only are there clear evidences in the text of the Quran and Sunnah, that cannot be denied. Also, there are clear evidences in the decree of Allah universally that those who oppose this particular principle, they will be humiliated, and they will spread, and they will be a means of great fitna and trials, and no good ever comes from that. And no good ever comes from that. People can see it with their own eyes. So there's the clear text here, and likewise the clear evidence in the decree of Allah universally. So then if somebody, he tried to come along now and he had a hadith that he claims, or he has an understanding of a hadith, or he has something one of the salaf did, or the likes like this, this is considered him mutashabih. This is considered unclear. So therefore a believer, he will not have any doubts about that. He will say this person, he's using these evidences here that are in opposition to all of these great fundamental foundations. He's using this evidence here, that even if it's authentic, there has to be a proper way to understand it. Even if it's authentic, I don't know. He says, oh, the hadith is in Sahih Muslim, for example. So, Allahu Akbar. Okay, well, the hadith and the way that you're interpreting it, the way that you're interpreting it is contrary to all of the principles that we have seen. So therefore, it can't be correct. Your interpretation is not correct. Your interpretation is not correct. I don't know the aspect of that. Inshallah, I'll review and I will ask the people of knowledge and learn. But you are in opposition entirely to every fundamental principle in this issue. So therefore, it has to be falsehood. Why? فَمَاذَا بَعْدِ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا ضَلَالٌ. There's nothing after the truth except for falsehood. So now he's opposing the clear truth. Maybe he's using an authentic proof to oppose the clear truth. But his understanding is not in accordance. Had he understood it properly, then that would not oppose those clear verses. That would not oppose those clear hadith. That would not be in contradiction to those clear principles, to those clear principles. We understand this. So therefore, the first and foremost, to have fiqh in the deen, to fortify oneself by learning the truth clearly with this evidence. By learning the truth clearly with this evidence. Man rabbuk, knowing who Allah is. Ma deenu, knowing your deen. Man nabiyu, knowing your prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowing these fundamental affairs in general, clearly with their evidence. And then after that, anything that's contrary to that, you just repel it and push it away. You repel it and push it away. And if you need the detailed refutation, you go to the people of knowledge and you ask them, as Allah He mentioned, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.